Shalom, everybody, and welcome to Hebrew Treasures. I'm Bill Cloud, and want to thank you for joining us today. We are going to be looking at the next word of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, since we've covered Bereshit, the first word, rather extensively. It only makes sense to look at the next word, which is the word bara. And bara, which means to create, is spelled Bet Resh Aleph. Genesis 1, verse 1 says in Hebrew, Bereshit bara, Elohim et hashamayim va'et haaretz, or in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so, again, we're going to look at the word bara, the second word in that verse. Now, it means, or it's translated here as created, but the word denotes something that is opening up. It's coming into reality. It's being actualized. It's related to a term that means to emerge from constraints, as if something was kind of holding it, but it begins to emerge from that constraint. If I could put it this way, imagine a seed in the ground that's held back, if you will, by the ground. But as it germinates and as it begins to push through the earth, then it will emerge. And so that's the concept of bara. It means to create, but it's emerging from something. It's coming out of being hidden, and now it's becoming visible. So this idea of bara related to this concept is where we get the idea of something coming from nothing. As opposed to the word asa, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, in the future, asa means to make something, which means to take something already in existence and then transform it into something else. For instance, we cut down a tree, we'll make wood out of it, and then we'll take that wood and we'll build a house. Well, that's asa, that's to make. But the tree, where did it come from? Well, it was created. And we could say, really, it came forth from a seed in the ground being held back, but then it pushes through, it emerges, which again takes us back to the concept of bara. So bara, again, is create. And the idea of creating something is it comes from nothing. But that's kind of interesting when you consider what this verse says in Genesis chapter 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So in this verse, three times we are told that God created mankind. Not that he made mankind, but he created. And if created, bara, is to insinuate something from nothing, well, consider that man is made, so to speak. Well, I just said the word made, but man is formed from the dust of the earth, something already in existence. God breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and so he became a living soul. And yet, he says, he created him. Again, we're looking at the idea that bara means to create something from nothing. Also consider this. According to the writer of Hebrews, it's the Word of God that created everything. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says this, "By faith we understand that the worlds or the universe was created by the Word of God, so what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Here's what I'm trying to get at. This verse in Hebrews tells me that everything we see in the universe, that which God created, was made of something I can't see. Man was formed from the dust of the earth, something already in existence. God breathed the breath of life into man and became a living soul. Well, that breath came from somewhere. So even though bara implies something is created from nothing, bara is also hinting that there is a something before there is the something. The something being the heavens and the earth, that which he created. Well, that came out of nothing. Well, that's not exactly true, because bara is hinting that there was something before the something. And that something is something we can't see. In Hebrews, it's called the Word of God. His thoughts, his intents are made manifest by his word. And so then the creation is like a flower that blooms. And of course, that bloom will be transformed into fruit. And so the creation was the Creator's intent, His thoughts, His intentions, His wisdom, His understanding being made manifest in a physical way through the creation of the heavens and the earth, coming into reality. And so then the creation is a manifestation of God's Word, which, by the way, is likened unto a seed in Mark chapter 4, verse 14. So a seed in the ground, if you will, restrained by the ground, kept back. But when that seed, everything that's in it, let's say that it's an apple seed. Well, in that apple seed, we have roots, we have a trunk, we have the branches, we have the foliage, we have the blooms that will be transformed into fruit. Well, all of that is contained in the seed. So the seed would be His Word. And so when it's time, everything that's in His Word, everything that's in His intent will then come to fruition. And like a seed germinating, it will push through the earth and it will emerge from that and it will begin to develop and produce fruit. Well, that's interesting because one of the family words for bara, bet, resh, aleph, is the word para, pe, resh, aleph. And that word means to bear or to produce fruit. And that's very, very important because that was God's objective and is God's objective. That's the reason for His creating, to produce fruit, whether that's in a natural sense or whether that's in a spiritual sense. And as a matter of fact, He shows us this principle of producing fruit in the beginning through natural means. But those natural means and those natural manifestations are to teach us of spiritual principles. Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So all of this brings me to this conclusion, that when it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, it could say, imply, that in the beginning God produced the heavens and the earth, and that He produced them. They're the fruit, so to speak. They're the bloom, so to speak. Indicates that what we see in the universe came from a seed, just like a flower would grow up and then it would bloom. Well, originally it came from a seed. So the Word of God, of course, is that seed. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That tells me that if the creation is the bloom, is the fruit, that when He created everything, the seed for everything was sown in the beginning. Let me say that again. If the creation and what we see is the manifestation of His will, His purpose, His Word, again, which is likened unto a seed, then that means that the seed was sown in the beginning. Now, naturally speaking, the seeds that He sowed were beginning to sprout on the third day. In fact, let's read in Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 11, "And God said, let the earth put forth grass, herbs yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, wherein is the seed thereof, upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, herbs yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit, wherein is the seed thereof, after their kind. And God saw that it was good." So my point would be this: those things we see naturally in the beginning that emerge on the third day, the grass, the herb-yielding seed, the fruit trees, etc. Well, where did they come from? It doesn't say that God created those things on the third day. It says that He called those things forth. Forth from where? From the earth. Well, the earth has been restraining those things, so to speak. So how did He call those things forth? Because they all came from seed. When was the seed sown? In the beginning. His Word, remember, is that seed. And so when it's time, everything that's in His Word, His intent, His understanding, His wisdom begins to come forth and comes into a physical reality, becomes manifest for all to see. Again, that's the word bara. That's what it's implying in all this. Now, this natural occurrence in the beginning is ultimately, I believe, to teach us of something spiritual. The book of Genesis is not just a record of history. It is that, but it's more than that. It's prophetically speaking. And so ultimately, this natural occurrence of the seed being sown in the earth and then emerging from the earth on the third day, I believe, teaches us of the Messiah, ultimately, who is the seed of the woman. He's the seed of Abraham. He's the good seed. He's the Word of God. And so he, if you will, was sown in the beginning in order to produce fruit. The lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. The seed was sown in the beginning in order to produce fruit. Yeshua said this in John chapter 12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Now, this is a very important concept for you and I because we are born again as a result of receiving that incorruptible seed, as Peter calls him, so that we can become a new creation. To as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So we become a new creation, which now takes us to another word that is related to the word bara. In fact, this word is pronounced bara, but it's spelled a little differently. It's spelled bet resh he. Bet resh he bara, and it means to rejuvenate, to restore health, which is exactly what happens, spiritually speaking, when you and I are born again of the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, which is the Messiah, and thus we become a new creation. We're rejuvenated. Our spiritual health is restored. Now, going back to the word Beit Resh Aleph Bara, which means to create, we see that this word also means in Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 19, that's one example, it means to choose or to mark, which is interesting when you take that definition and apply it to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In other words, if we look at it as also meaning to choose or to mark something, then in the beginning God chose something. He marked something. And the inference, I believe, would be this. What he would mark or choose would be a word that we'll discuss in the future, Aleph Tav. Because Aleph Tav is basically an idiomatic expression for the Word of God. When Yeshua appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation, you know, we've always heard that he said, "I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and last, beginning and the end." But as I've said through the years, and you've probably already known this, but it doesn't make sense that a Jewish rabbi would speak to another Jew in Greek and say, "I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and last Greek letters of the Greek alphabet." It makes more sense that he would say, "I am the Aleph and the Tav, the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet." And if he does this, what he's really indicating to John is that I am the Word of God. So, going back to the concept that bara also means to choose or to mark, in the beginning, God chose something. God marked something. Well, what did he mark? I believe that it's alluding to the Aleph Tav, or if you will, the Word of God, the Messiah. Now, in Aramaic, the term bara doesn't mean to create. It's actually the emphatic form of the word son. I'm sure that most of you are familiar with the word Beit Resh, bar, which is the Aramaic word for son. Well, if we add the Aleph to the end of Beit Resh, bara, in Aramaic it means son, but it's very personal. It's not just a son. It's very personal. For instance, the Hebrew word av, aleph bet, is father. But if we add the aleph to that, it becomes abba, which is an Aramaic term for father. But it's, you know, personal. It's a relational term. Well, the same is true for bara in Aramaic. It's not just sun, it's sun. So the emphasis of bara is the word of God. And we believe that in the beginning, according to John chapter 1, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And so my point is this, that the word bara, taking all of the things that it means, it is translated for us initially as to create, with the idea of things created out of nothing. And yet, we've come to understand that there was something before there was something. And that something was the Word of God. But it seems to me that if bara hints at the something before the something, then the something before the something is actually someone. And who is the someone? It's Son. It's the Word made flesh. It is the Messiah. There's one other interesting thing to note about the word bara. Beit, Resh, Aleph. And that is that it forms an acrostic for something that's very important. In fact, this example of how rabbis look at Hebrew terms is what got me looking into Hebrew in the first place. I remember several years ago, I was in a car going to the airport with an Israeli friend of mine. And he was telling me, he was a believer, and he was telling me how he had led his brothers to the Messiah based on this, that bara forms an acrostic for Son, Spirit, Father. In Hebrew, the word ben, bet nun, is son. Ruach begins with the resh, and then the word father, av, begins with the aleph. And so in the word bara, we have the Father, the Son, the Spirit. These manifestations of the Creator. But the emphasis is placed on the Son. How so? Because the first letter of bara is bet, and bet is the letter that gives us the word ben, or son. So if bara is, again, hinting at the something before the something, that which created everything that we do see, and the emphasis seems to take us back to the Son, back to the Word, back to the seed, then it seems to me that bara is another one of those words that ultimately is going to teach us of and hint at the Messiah. Hebrew is a fascinating language, and I hope you're beginning to see that. And we have just gotten started. But I want to thank you for joining me today, and I hope you've enjoyed our little study on the word bara. We'll see you next week, and we'll be talking about some other very interesting words of Genesis chapter 1. Till then, shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.